Good afternoon. Welcome for the Jazz Masterclass. My name is Brad Good. I'm a professor here in the Thompson Jazz Studies program at CU. We live right here in the Mackey Auditorium building. And today, some of our students from the Thompson Jazz Studies program are going to be performing for advice and suggestions and critique from our panel of jazz musicians who were here as participants in the CWA and here for the jazz concert. First, I'd like you to meet the musicians who will be the clinicians today. From Toronto, Ontario, our pianist Adrian Ferrugia. From Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, our drummer, this is Helen De La Rosa. From France, by way of Harlem, New York, it's Cyril Aimé, our vocalist. Originally from Yonkers, New York, but now living in Manhattan, it's Claire Daly, saxophonist. And from Sao Paulo, Brazil, but now also living here and a member of our jazz studies faculty, Biju Barbosa, our bassist. From Beirut, Lebanon, it's Roni Barak, percussion. Originally from Wilmington, Delaware, but now living in Cambria, California, our saxophonist Ernie Watts. So the format today is we're going to have two different groups of students from CU perform for help and advice from our musicians. And we're going to start with a group that's led by our drummer, Colin Hill. And this is a group that just performed on his recital. And so I'm going to have Colin introduce the group and introduce his composition.
Hi, guys. I'm Colin. And this group of excellent musicians that we're going to play a tune called On the Battlefield. It's a, I wouldn't call it a contrafact because it's just inspired by another piece. It's inspired by a piece called On the Battlefield for My Lord by Reverend D.C. Rice. And it's a classic American folk tune, and I thought it would be cool to see what that can do with a jazz band and taking the harmonic and melodic concepts and giving it to these guys. And so on saxophone, we got Julian Stevens. On trumpet, we got Aaron McGilvery. On piano, we got Ben Thompson. And laying it down on the bass, we got Trevor Jargon. And without further ado, we got On the Battlefield. Thank you.
I'll go first. How's that? Sound great, guys. Right? See, I hear this guy's playing every week. And every week, I'm walking down the hall and I hear him. And it's like, I hear the growth every week. Sounds really great. I wanted to talk about one little thing here with the rhythm section. Bass and drums. I think the sound of the bass could be a little bit more clear. Sounds a little muddy from over here. Actually, it's kind of, we are not at the best place to hear the music either. So it's kind of weird. But I think the bass could be a little bit more clear. Also, throughout all three solos, I felt like you were playing in a low range, using your B string a lot. And maybe you can try different textures for different solos, especially like the piano have a very different, you know, sound than the horns. So maybe you can try maybe also leaving more space, at, you know, and playing maybe on your octave above. There's a very important thing that was happening here. Colin was playing this groove that the bass drum was on the downbeat and his second hit was on the of two. And sometimes he was playing on the end of three. But basically the one and the of two was pretty much his groove. Play again, Colin, just your basic groove. Yeah. So check this out. So this is the DNA of the groove. You have to, so when you start playing with the drummer, you lock in with that. And then that's the place where you take off. But that's where everything lock in. So try to play that groove with him, just with those two hits. Cool. Go to your upper octave, like the next one. Yeah, you're a little bit faster, Trevor. Listen to his bass drum, his second hit, and try to catch that one. Cool. Can I play a little bit, your bass? Do you mind? So if you get like the DNA of each groove, you can like build on top of it and do whatever you want. All right, I'll shut up now.
I'm going to come at things from a different approach. I wanted to jump in now because you got into the technical stuff, and I'm going to come at it from a different perspective, more like sort of a nothing too specific, but food for thought kind of. Are you guys nervous? I'd be. I mean, holy crap. I'm looking at it, I'm putting myself in your shoes, and I'm going, there's all these people, and there's like this band of guys sitting here. I'd be like crapping my pants, and you guys played really well. And I really get off on sort of watching each individual musician and asking myself, who is this person? Because I'm not sitting having coffee with you. I'm watching you play music. And it's so cool to get a window into who you are. And there's unique personalities up here. You guys can all play. You can play your instrument, and you know how to play the right notes. For me, that's the what of music. What notes do I play? What chord change is this? What do I do over this kind of a groove? And it's all really important, right? I mean, we need the alphabet, and we need a dictionary before we can write a poem or write a novel. So just thinking about, like, the why. When you're blowing a solo or when you're playing this tune, why are you doing this? And your reason is your reason. But maybe something, you know, to just explore. What am I trying to tell a story here? What kind of a story am I trying to tell? Am I trying to be the best guy in the band so I stand out more than everyone else and get the biggest applause after my solo? If that's the case, cool. Own it. Own it. Own who you are. Anyone read the Kenny Werner book, Effortless Mastery? Has anyone heard of it? Yeah. I loved that book. I read it when I was about 20. I'm guessing that's roughly the age. I mean, you know, obviously I was zeroing in on the piano a lot because I'm a piano player. And you were having a great time. And you're, like, very expressed, which I think is awesome to see. You know, you were doing your thing. I could hear you singing from here. You look like someone who's not afraid to be you, which I think is awesome. but something that really kind of blew up my world, I was like a really self-conscious, nervous kind of, you know, like one of my big frustrations as a musician would be to play in the practice room and just find this like state of ecstasy. And then go out and play in a scenario like this and just be so pissed off at myself. It's like, why couldn't you dial that up? You know, it was so awesome earlier today when I was alone and no one could hear it. And the message I got from that book more than anything, and it's become a bit of a mantra for me, is there is a secret to music as far as I'm concerned. You know, you've probably heard people say there's no secret, it's just a lot of hard work, a lot of practice, and a lot of dedication. But there is a secret. Don't ever try to sound good. Don't try to sound good. That'll confuse the hell out of your ego. Your ego doesn't know what to do. What do you mean, don't try to sound good? Isn't that why I'm here? And what it does is it creates a clearing. It creates a space to be here in the moment and let the music happen. You ever watch, like, videos of Miles or Train or Jack DeJohnette or Jocko or Keith Jarrett? They don't really look like they're trying to sound good. I think they're pretty convinced that they sound good. So they're just doing. They're playing. They're there to play. They're not there to convince anyone of anything. I'm not going to take up too much more time, but just try it on as an experiment. I mean, I teach ensembles up where I live in Hamilton, near Toronto, and I do this cool experiment with my ensemble. It's harder to do now because they talk about it, so now they know it's coming. But for a number of years, I would do this thing where I would record them playing a tune, the tune that they've been working on for a few weeks, and I'd say, okay, I want you guys to really focus, and I want you to play this as well as you can. And then I'd record it, and they'd finish, and I'd go, okay, good job. Now what we're going to do is we're going to record it, and I want you to play it as terribly as possible. I want you to try and play it as badly as you can. And they get a smirk on their face, and some of them get a confused look on their face, but they go with it anyway, and I record it. And then 6 months later, after the first term's over and we've had Christmas break and we're back for the... I say, do you remember near the beginning of the year when I recorded you guys? And they say, yeah, and I play the the two recordings and I ask them which one they like the best. And with only one exception, every single group every year has always said that they liked the bad one the best. Because what they heard was reckless abandon, no inhibition. And what that translates to is a real broader level of self-expression. No one wants to hear you play right. They want to hear you play you. They want to hear you play. So that's my little contribution to this. I really enjoyed listening to you guys. I have a feeling a lot of you, all of you, probably have a lot more fire within you that could come out if it wanted to. So try that trick if you haven't thought about that before. Go, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try to sound good. What will happen if I'm not trying to sound good?
Cool.
Everybody sounded great. Beautiful job. This is a gig. Brad came to you guys and said, hey, do you want to do this thing on Thursday? And then you said, yeah, I really want to do this. Now, the thing that happens is when you have a gig, you concentrate on your material and you figure out how to make it sound the best you can. Now, we're playing for the peeps. This is the peeps out here. That's what musicians call people, right? People. There's people out there. These are the peeps. So now, what we want to try to do is create a picture and tell a story to the peeps, right? And we want them to get into it and feel good about it, right? So now, on our gig, we want to see how we can make this tune sound as good as we can for the peeps. Now, I was being a peep back there. I was peeping. And have you played this tune a lot? You played it a decent amount. You've all played this tune a lot. Okay. So then, what I felt was, for the peeps, we need to tighten up the form, right? It's taking too long to get to it, right? So what we have to do is tighten up the form. So now you've got your first section. You play out in front, right? And then you cue the melody? Or when do you do the melody?
We have like a certain amount of choruses, and it's not so much a melody, but
background. Okay. So what is a chorus?
Yeah. This time twice.
Okay, it's this. All right. I see. Now, are you in concert or B-flat? Okay, good. So now, what we're going to do... So you play a certain amount of choruses, and then when do you play the tune on his third chorus? When do you play?
When do I solo?
Yeah, when do you solo?
After the piano
solo. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You guys, no, I think we should create another roadmap. We should create a tighter roadmap. So what's going to happen is the saxophone is going to play a half. The trumpet's going to play a half. Then what you're going to do is play the melody. Where's the melody? Okay, it says background there, but that's the tune. Okay, so that's A. Then you play A. This is the background? Yeah, and that's the last eight of the form. Okay, so this is the tune. Okay, and this is your background. Mm-hmm. It's the background to the solos.
Yeah.
Okay, so now here's what we're going to do. The saxophone is going to play a half. The trumpet's going to play a half. You're going to play the tune, the whole tune, okay? Then what you're going to do, because they've been hearing all this horn stuff, the peeps have been hearing all this horn stuff. So after you play the tune, what you're going to do is we're going to go to the piano solo to change up the sound, to change up the color, to freshen up the ears of the peeps, right? And the peeps are going to say, Oh, yeah, that's really cool. It's not a horn. Then, the piano is going to play a chorus, a full chorus. Then, the horns are going to play a background behind the piano, okay? Then, after the piano solo, we're going to go to the bass thing, all right? So we do the background, the bass thing, all right? Then, after the bass thing, we're going to play a chorus of background, and we're going to go, did you play a solo on this? So as a vamp, okay. So after the bass solo, we play a background. And then, let's do, what we're going to do now, after the bass solo, we're going to play a background behind the bass solo. After the bass solo, what we're going to do is we're going to have 8 bars of drums. Okay? 8 bars of drums is going to freshen up the ears of the peeps. Okay? 8 bars of drums. Then we do the tune out. And we vamp on the end. Where is your fine? What is the fine?
It's these last 2 bars.
The last 2 bars is the fine.
It's almost cued by the drummer.
So it's a vamp.
Yeah.
Okay. So then on the vamp, the trumpet and the saxophone are going to play together, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play together for a while. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go into your part. So he knows that you guys are done and you want to go home. Right, so he'll hear that, right? He'll say, "Oh, they've had enough." Then do your ending, and I may play a little bit with you on the vamp. So let's try that form. You have young minds. I'm sure that you'll remember all of this. If it was me, I'd still be writing it down. What tune is this? So, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, at this point we're going to switch groups. So how about a hand for Colin Hill and his group? And this this next group is not one of our official ensembles. The title of this group is Those Guys from Brad's Improv Class. And so they're coming up. We've got Zach on saxophone, Wyatt on saxophone, Eric on trumpet, Noah on bass, and Jack on the drums. The Guys from Improv Class. Thank you.
I have a little thing to say. Thank you for this. I think it's special when you don't have a chart in front of you, because you can really concentrate on the music and, you know, give the peeps what they want. So the point that Ernie made by chopping down the form, I think, is that you always have to be in service of the music, even if that means sacrificing a solo for someone or a few bars of a solo for someone, but always be in service of the music and how to mold the piece so that it can reach to the peeps as best as possible. And you guys had a great energy, but the energy stayed the same throughout the tune. And there's so many, like Adrian was saying, you guys have so many different personalities. And and also one great thing that I noticed about all of you guys is you make really good use of space in your solos, which is not often in young musicians. You know, they tend to just want to say everything at the beginning, but you guys take a time to get in the groove and everything. And I think you, as a drummer, you have a lot of power in deciding where the energy belongs. And you have so many different soloists, and I think you could take some time when the soloist starts to kind of feel his energy, and rather than dictating where it's going to go, try to get some of his energy and see where he can take you. And that way, each soloist, each story that they tell will be completely different. And but for that, you need to take a little step back at the beginning of the solo to kind of assess, you know, where the connection, how the connection can be made between you two, between all of you. But, you know, you have a lot of power in this. And I guess be open to receiving the new energy that comes in, because each soloist has a new energy, even if it's fed by the soloist from before, but he's not going to want to say exactly the same thing. So, yeah, keep that in mind, I guess.
Hello? Hi, guys. You sounded great. I think you guys were blending very well. This, I always appreciate that from a horn band, horn section. I think you guys really had, you know, that going, so cool. What were you guys feeling while playing? Seriously, like, be honest, there's no right answer, I'm just wondering. Yeah, I get it, it's tough, right? I mean, I'm nervous and I'm only talking. I imagine you guys, like, playing, for sure. What? You're not clear? It's okay, you can say, I don't know. Okay. Thank you for your honesty, man. I, as a musician, like, I can relate, and I'm sure we all have had that a million times. It's hard. But I just asked that because I think, ironically, that's the most important thing. Because we're musicians, and if we're having a conversation, and if we're talking to the peeps, we should be feeling something in order to communicate it. We can't communicate if we're not feeling anything. So in any performance you have the opportunity of, you know, being part of, before anything technical, I know it's hard, I get it, it's hard, but try to focus primarily on feeling something. Because at the end of the day, we all make mistakes, we have good nights, bad nights, sometimes your brain and your fingers, they're connected and you're like, wow, you're like impressed with yourself, and sometimes you're like, yeah, I need to practice. But at the end of the day, if they felt something, that's all that matters. So whatever you're trying to accomplish in music just try to keep that in mind. Commitment to what you're playing, the feelings that you are feeling. There's no right feeling. You can be feeling angry one moment, just let it out. If you're feeling sad, let it out. If you're like, I don't know, even depressed, just try to speak with your instrument. And I think that's the real mastery. So coming from that sense, I want to speak to you because I'm a drummer. I just want to say first, I am very picky. So don't take anything as like, it's not with a mean intention or anything. And I'm also going to talk to the other drummer I didn't have the chance. Is he here? Are you here? Nope. Okay. Well, just keeping it short, as she mentioned, we have a lot of power. And actually, something that I really liked about you is that you, like, they had a lot of energy because of you. Like, you were the soul of that, and I could definitely see that. In the moment you started playing, I was like, whoa, cool, like, he's there, bam. And I really appreciate, you know, a drummer taking control like that. But I have a, I think this is my life motto, that I don't like to be controlled by anything. So if I, practical example, right, if I can't live without Coca-Cola, I feel like Coca-Cola is controlling me, and I don't like that feeling, so I just like cut it off. And I drink Coca-Cola when I want, not what, when it wants. So in this context, if I'm moving in a certain way, it's because I want to move a certain way, not because that movement is controlling what I play. You know what I mean? So I think the way you were expressing yourself, it was actually really cool, really powerful, but I also think that it was controlling you and limiting you. Because when I noticed that when you wanted to like go for something, sometimes you lost control real fast, or it wasn't as clear. And I get it. Again, this is not the most ideal situation. I mean, you guys have no monitors. You're like trying to make it work, you know, thinking so many things at the same time. I get it. We're like watching you. It's creepy. And they're all like, you know, listening to everything you're doing. I get it. It's not the easiest thing to do. But I think you will reach like 200% more of your potential if you learn how to control those movements. When you want to play something like fast or go for, you know, something risky, and I'm all for risk, believe me. Sometimes I'm like, man, I'm feeling this. I don't know if I'm going to be right, but whatever. Ooh, it was totally wrong, but hey, smile, and no one knows. But everyone feels it, right? Because it was risky. Everyone was like, whoa, surprised by it. And I'm all for that, so that's great. But also, ideally, you control it, right? Ideally, you're stable, and you can bring the band together by taking risks. In the solo you did, I heard that you were developing ideas, which is great. But something that, and this happens to me too, and I'm telling you from a peer perspective, not like a superior, because I go through it too. Sometimes I get so many ideas at the same time, then I just move from idea to idea to idea to idea to idea to idea, and then I'm like talking about sports and then end up talking about quantum physics or something, and I don't know how that happened. I just kept going, and you know, so it's better actually to think in less, repeat a lot in different ways, orchestrate, take your time, repeat it again. That is more relatable because now they know. You're like, oh, he's playing that thing. Now you change the rhythmic figure, and they're like, ooh, now they feel it. Now you're transmitting something completely powerful by playing something even simple or complicated. It doesn't matter, really. It can be complicated. But if you mean it, and if you change it, and if you repeat it, change it, repeat it, everyone can follow you. It's like you're actually telling something, and we're just like, oh. And then what happened? And you're like, and then this happened. And we're like, oh, this happened, really? And so, like, you know, so now we're completely zoomed in on what you're doing, every single note. And I think that that's something that your own movements were, like, limiting you. Because I know you had the intention. And I know you had the concepts in your mind. I couldn't tell. But yourself was stopping that. You alone. You were stopping yourself from getting to that point, to that level. So just think about it. Try to play relaxed. It's not that there is anything wrong, again, with moving as you were. I think it was awesome. Freaking awesome. But it is controlling you. And there's a point that we can notice. It's controlling you. So you don't want that. You can be like, yeah, I want to move now. Now I want to be, God, now I'm going to play this. And I do this, and then I don't. See how everyone was like, because it has more impact. Because I did it intentionally. So everything you do, intentionally. Because you want it to be that way. Because you want to say what you want to say. Not because that was just like the first word that came to my mouth, and then I can't stop talking because I don't know what to do if I stay quiet and I get nervous, so everyone's going to think that I'm stupid, so I'm going to just keep going. And, you know, it's like a wreck. And I know you know what I mean because I've been there too in that situation. But yeah, just think about it. Practice it at home. Think about it while you're performing. Just remind yourself. And I think everyone in the band, first of all, is going to feel you different. And we all are going to see you and feel you different. All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm going to say something just quickly. I enjoyed, I concur with a lot of what's been said. And I really like that you guys feel like a horn section. You had a blend. You had a sound. I like that you had arrangements. You know, you had a nice, you had a thing happening. And you weren't looking at the music. And it was very nice. It was a very nice presentation. I like you were doing some cool things in the comping I was enjoying. I felt like you were really listening and trying to place, you know, some shapes in there. I want to commend you. You got the lone dancer up on the dance floor, and that's a good thing. It felt good. It may, you know, when it started, it really it was swinging. It was bumping. You know, it felt good. But then it flattened out a little bit just as far as dynamics. So I always say when each new soloist starts, it's really great if the rhythm section is aware to just give each soloist a blank piece of paper to go where they want to go, because it is, you know, controlling a little bit to have it, to, you know, to not have more dynamics. So, you know, always more dynamics. All these, everybody's suggestions, I feel like, are really good life suggestions, too. So more dynamics, and keep swinging. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say, if you know, I'm not expert maybe in jazz, that the style you're playing. But first, I want to say, well done and bravo. When I didn't have the chance to do this when I was your age. You are lucky in a way to be really studying at CU with lovely teachers, professors like John Gunther, Brad Good, and others, and Bijou as well. They are taking good, I'm sure they are taking good care of you. And it's a great experience what you're doing, not only studying as a playing together, as a playing as a group, as an ensemble. You are sharing music, you are sharing life together. Every day, you know, seeing each other, hanging out, playing, jamming. And, you know, just I want to say like a few things that don't be shy on stage. Just have confidence, you know. Just go and play. Music, it's about love. So feel it. Communicate with each other. For example, one thing, I didn't see you as a bass player looking at the drummer. But I like this. I like to communicate with the musician, you know, to each other, to just forget anything around us. And look at him. Believe me, the energy will be much better. Eye communication is very important. Even with you guys, even what you do, your solo, just like turn around at the drummer and communicate, talk. Give me what you have, you give me what you have. I like your energy, beautiful piano player. All of you, really, I mean, but horn section, I felt a little bit, you are a little bit shy, you know, especially with the same melody. I didn't feel much presence in here, you know, because when you, I want to listen to this difference between the first melody and then going back to the solos. This is very important, you know, when to change to the solos, even with dynamics, of course. But if you look at each other, you know, it will help a lot. I love your groove as a drummer. You are a really swingy guy. You are a really swingy drummer, you know. I felt your right hand. I love the technique of your right hand playing swing, you know. And I could feel that you, from your hi-hat, you know, offbeat, that, wow, you have great power and energy. I mean, Elena is more expert on drums and especially that style. Okay, I play kind of little of drum kit, but because my instrument is a percussion instrument as a darbuka, and I would love to play with you guys, by the way. So, yeah, we should jam together. Why not? We should jam together, because I'm sure Brad does, you do jam with him many times. And this is amazing experience to be able to jam with one of your best teachers here, really. Not, I'm just saying this because Brad is here. This guy is a real jazz player, and you have great treasure here. That someone who's well experienced is giving you what he has of beautiful playing, composition, arrangement, everything, experience on stage, going and playing in jazz clubs. This is beautiful. I still love doing this, to go and jam with jazz musicians. I don't do this much at home, but in England, well, I lived in England because I come from Lebanon. Most of the time I'm in my studio, but when I lived in London, I used to go and jam with the jazz musicians. That's why I have learned a lot, you know, how to like improv with the jazz musicians, playing my instrument, which is, they used to call it, where is your bongo? And it's called darbuka. They didn't know. It's a percussion instrument. You know what I mean? But I used to love it. I used to have all this, you know, like excitement. Yeah, I want to play with a live band now. Yes, great, you know. Let's expect what to have now. And this playing on stage has taught me a lot, has gave me lots of confidence to play with other musicians, to share music, to share energy and power on stage. You know, I know this is not easy for you, like people watching, and, you know, maybe you could be there watching us playing as well. I don't mind. Yeah, you could easily be there, honestly. As playing, I mean, this kind of jazz, your age, are you, how old are you? 19, oh my God. Well, I mean, for me, if I hear a record like this playing, I feel like these people are professionals playing this. Believe me, it's not easy to play this kind of jazz. I mean, for you, you're like, yeah, you know, we were born in America. It's easy for us to play this kind of jazz. You know, like, yeah, but really, I mean, for me, wow, man, you have all these ideas of improv and playing this kind of jazz. It's not easy. It's not easy. As an improv for me, as horn players and all this technique of... How old are you? 19. I love your energy. I love the way you play as well and the ideas. You're not afraid. You don't have fear when you're playing, right?
I hope not.
No, of course not. No, honestly, it's beautiful. And you have... I like always the challenge of new ideas on piano. The way you play. Can you play us something like anything comes to your head now? Can you just like play anything? Give me a hug.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is great. I love your energy. You see? No fear. No, it's beautiful. You have the confidence as well. I'm sure each one of you can do it. Really. And I would love to hear something else from you. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much. But yeah, I mean, just keep going. Keep enjoying yourself. Keep playing and communicate and forget about the crowd. They don't exist. Well, they do. But for you, when you play on stage, just enjoy it. Make the best of it. Because this is one of our beautiful moments that here we feel this is our home on stage. When you're walking outside, no one will notice you that you are a sax player or a drummer or a bass player. But when we're here, we are sharing the most beautiful thing on earth that we are sharing together is music. Just play and keep going, and I'm sure you're going to be big stars. Thank you.
Do we have time for you to play one more tune? Okay. All right. Can you guys play? Here's what I want to say. You are all a little bit nervous, right? So I want for you to understand one thing. The stage is the place where you work, right? So this is your office. So this is the place where you don't feel nervous. This is the place where you're comfortable expressing yourself. So if you go right now to Brad's office or anybody, are they nervous over there? Are they freaked out? They go walk in and like, no, right? They're comfortable. So try to shift your mind starting now and just enjoy yourselves, right? This is what we want to hear. Right? So make sure you're comfortable because you're going to be working places like this for a very long time. So you're at home right here. So can you guys play something quick to let us go and everybody's going to be happy? Cool. All right. Play something that you really enjoy, that you just have fun, a blues or whatever it is. Something you really enjoy playing together.
And remember, this is jazz. We play the same whether there are five people in the audience or nine.